Welcome to Iconic, where we talk about all things 13th Age. I'm your host, JM, and with me as always are Nick and Mark.
Hello.
Hey.
This week we have a great show for you. We are reviewing the 13th Age GM Toolkit. Now, just a quick disclaimer, we've all acquired this book in different ways and formats. I believe, Nick, you have the physical materials, as yep. I do as well. And Mark is working off the PDFs. But I will say all opinions in this review are our own. And we'll kind of go from there. So, Nick, why don't you let us know what we'll be reviewing today? What is it? What is the resource kit?
So today we're going to be talking about the 13th Age Game Master's Screen and Resource Book. And the screen's a piece of thin cardboard with beautiful art on one side and a lot of helpful GM resources on the other side. And then the book is a black and white, about 64-page long book with a lot of really good nuggets for 13th Age GMs.
Now, Mark, what would one find on the inside of this screen? What stands out to you?
Well, there's useful charts, as every GM screen should have, from skill checks, trap obstacles, some descriptions with that, not just the chart, intercepting, and then baseline stats for monsters, stuff you can find in the book, but it's nice when you have it condensed mm-hmm. and you're not flipping through your book and you can just look up at your screen and have it right there. And then the levels for, you know, adventure, champion, and epic levels and how you adjust things, which is helpful. Hopefully you've got some of that done ahead of time, but it's nice to also have it right there when you're working on your adventure, to have it in one spot and you're not flipping in your book back and forth.
Yeah, in my last 13th Age game, which Nick was a part of, the game went completely off the rails, as it is often wont to do. I was able to use the left-hand panel, which has the monster information and the DCs and damage by tier mm-hmm. to improv the entire thing.
Which is good.
Yeah.
One thing that I liked about the back of the GM screen, what I've discovered is that a lot of GMing is a lot of ad-lib, and you're making things up as you're going along because you never know what the players are going to do. Like you said, we went off the rails last time, and you were not expecting to have to figure out any of that stuff that we ended up doing. And
yeah, not even off the rails. Like, you guys just stepped off the map, which was awesome.
But there's a lot of just quick reminders on the back of the GM screen on a really quick ways of just ad-libbing stuff. Mm-hmm. Someone says, hey, I want to turn in this token for, or I want to turn in my icon relationship for magic item, or it just happens to play out that way mm-hmm. in gameplay.
Denied.
And if you weren't prepared for that, you know, there's that chart there that says, okay, well, these are the common magic items and the chakras that they obtain and the default bonuses that they're going to be getting. And so you could just on the fly say, okay, well, you know what, here's the magic item that you just discovered.
Right. Or, and if the players attack an NPC or stumble upon something and come up with a really good idea for a monster that, you know, you weren't expecting, like they're going down this flight of stairs and they're like, oh, what if X is here? Well, as opposed to having to stop and scramble for a monster to reskin, it has all of the monster stats by level just kind of right there front and center. Mm-hmm. With just a little bit of fiddling, you can seem as if you were prepared for them the whole time.
And even helpful things to remind you what to do before the session starts, things mm-hmm. to do in the middle of the session, and then what you're supposed to do when the session wraps up.
Yeah, when as it relates to like icon relationship
yeah.
roles.
Yeah. yeah.
So, Mark, let me ask you this. You are a veteran DM. You have the badges and the medals to prove it. How does this rate up to other GM screens, like the information that's on it?
I like it. It's useful information. Nothing worse than being in a game system and the company finally puts out their GM shield and you get it and you're like, oh, this is great. Oh, why do we have this table here? This is completely useless.
Yeah, this table.
They just took a nice 5x6 spot on the mm-hmm. sheet and it's nothing I need. This is all stuff I wouldn't say you need, but it's useful and you could use it. Mm-hmm. No wasted space that I see. And I like it.
Awesome.
Any critiques on it?
I would say my only critique of the GM screen, and I don't know the price points or anything, you know, as it was related, because the book more than covers the price point of what you were getting. But you should know that it is a cardstock screen. So it is not like a thick, heavy cardboard or what you would expect like on the hardcover of a book, which has kind of been where the industry has trended so that it stands up a little bit more. It's a little bit more robust. But again, the information on the inside, I mean, that's really just a minor critique of the screen.
I mean, I don't mind it. I like that. I only have the PDF version, but I've had more than enough of what you're talking about, the thin cardstock that fold up. And one plus for that being thin, two. One price point, and two is the weight. When you're lugging all the books and all the things you need, having a 2-pound GM shield is not what you need. Got to save that weight for custom dice boxes.
Custom dice boxes. It's one of the things I love about, like, say, my Dark Eye or my Conan GM screen. It's big. It's heavy. I can set it down. It stands up on its own. I only run those games in my house. I'm not going to carry that GM screen with me because it weighs as much as, you know, like the adventure book.
Yeah. And it's just thick when you fold it all up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and remember, too, that a lot of 13th Age is designed to let the players behind the GM screen. And so where that you're seeing what the stats are, you could even see what the rolls are and all that stuff. And so you could even get away with not having it. And with having it be such lightweight, it'd be easy enough just to lift it up and show them what you got.
Can you also just lay it down?
Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone can see the charts. Like, yeah, it is very open game. So
yeah.
It's just a handy chart.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's put on it with some nice.
Still, I like the heavier screens.
I just like having the surprise screens of some things that you can kind of hide. Yeah. Not to be open with die rolls.
No, but you keep your notes.
You want to have a little surprise.
I roll in front of you guys so that you can see when I destroy you.
Or when you don't.
Or when I don't. Stupid.
Yes.
13th Age Claronta Knight. All right, well, let's actually get into the meat of the product. So the resource book is the real gem, I think, of this product. It's a black and white book. As Nick said, it's about 64 pages. Chocked filled with great material. As Mark and I were talking about it, I think you said that it was filled with a bunch of stuff that you wish was in the first 13th Age, like the core rule book.
Yes, has lots of good stuff, which I like.
And I think that's the key for this product is it's the designers and the writers, after having a number of years of playing and running and seeing how this game actually interacts at the table, even more so than the playtesting that it went through, they found some places that they really wanted to refine their thoughts on. So the things that stick out for me are there's a lot of new rules about how to handle icon relationships. In fact, I think I've gone completely to the new rules for how to use icon relationships, which we'll talk about here shortly. Rules for terrain. If you haven't been playing in the 13th Age monthly games, it's got the rules for montages codified. It's got a ton of cool NPCs, a lot of GM advice. Gentlemen, what stood out to you as kind of the gold inside this product?
As you just mentioned, I think it's a great resource, and the fact that it got into the montages, because I kind of see this without asking the guys in person. I see this coming from a lot of questions through the years to them of, hey, how do you do this? Because like you said, you got into this from 4th edition D&D. Mm-hmm. So people play D&D, gets into 13th Age, and it went from I sit here and the GM tells me everything, they're the storyteller, to I'm now part of the story and I have to give my bit in a montage. How do I do that? A lot of people are kind of taken aback, like, well, what do you mean problem? To where, if you remember, it almost became, once we get used to it, a competition of I'm going to come up with a better problem for you. As it went around the table, it got worse and it was hilarious. It was great.
Right.
But it was group storytelling. So I think having that bit in there, kind of helping new GMs, this is what you do with a montage, this is how you run it, I think it's great. I think it's a great part of the game.
Yeah.
In this one.
Well, and those montage hooks, they're not just to pass the time between point A and point B. What I found is that the stuff that happens in those montages become iconic of those characters.
And
like, even reminiscing about past games, a lot of the memories that get shared were stuff that came from montages.
Oh, yeah. And one of the nice things I would say about the majority of this book, and you guys can tell me if I'm way off base, is completely portable to any other D20 fantasy or
definitely
any role-playing game.
Oh, definitely.
I used the montages. I used, I think, even some of the icon relationship rules in the Numenera game that I ran.
Right. Definitely.
Yeah.
This it's a very good product. I encourage, if anyone in the industry is listening is not associated with Belgrane, look at this resource. This is how you put it together. There aren't any wasted pages. It's all good stuff.
Yeah, it is. And that's a good point that Mark made. There's nothing in here that even after running 13th Age for 5 years that I was like, oh, yeah, no, I get that. Nick, what about you? What stood out to you?
I think the two areas that stood out to me, and they're kind of related, was the building better battles section and the using terrain sections. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, the key takeaway from that was when you're going into building your encounter, think about the overall experience. And not just the nuances of it.
Right.
Not just about the stats, not just about what bonus that they're going to get hit or what sort of nasty special that the monster is going to have. But generally speaking, what's the overall experience that you want the players to have? And even reading it from through the player's lens, thinking about that. And as I go into the combat, I need to be, as a player, not just looking at it and saying, okay, did I roll a hit? Did I roll a hit? This is how much damage I did. But how can I, as a player, invest in that scenario and that encounter and make it a better experience? And the terrain especially comes into play with mm-hmm. that. And not just, I don't know, it seems like so many combat encounters, basically you come down and you for lack of imagination, you could just be in a boxing ring duking it out until mm-hmm. one emerges the victor. But really trying to add life to the scenario and say, okay, well, this, like you were like in our game last week was, you know, a big massive pit opened up in the river. Well, suddenly now the terrain has shifted and changed, and that affects how the gameplay is going to be going on.
Or when we did the mill fight and I had all of this stuff in the mill for you guys to do and none of you went into the mill.
We just burned it.
You just burned the mill to the ground. 13th Age, not just for heroes. So I was going to ask, so from a player's perspective, there seems to be a lot of good nuggets in there, especially the section on icons for me really stood out as a section that like all players should read, because there are a number of ways to deal with icon relationship roles, and they give you some good examples of mechanical benefits and how to narrate them that I think even if you were a player, if you don't buy this book, at least ask the GM to read through this section.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, between the advice given on the montages, icon relationship dice, like I said, the better battles and the terrain, even different ways of how to handle backgrounds. Mm-hmm. All of it I thought was this is good stuff for players to know.
Yeah.
I don't think there was anything in the book that I don't think a player should know. I don't think there was anything that was like exclusive for GMs.
Yeah, no spoilers. Or
right, exactly.
Like that,
yeah. I like that they specifically have a section labeled in the index of dealing with the +5, I'm good at everything background.
Yes, that is a fantastic read.
Yes, because that's quite the immediate, oh, I can add things. Okay, let me put something that says I'm really good at everything.
Right.
Okay, we'll deal with you.
No, actually, Nick, you brought up a really good point about the terrains and players looking to engage with the terrain. And I think part of that also ties into, I'm going to go to a different game right now, 7C, where John Wick is like, if you're in a tavern, we all know what the mental model of the tavern is. Feel free to engage with it in some way because you know what's in a pirate tavern. And I think 13th Age comes from the mindset of we've all played these games before. You know what's in a X. Use your icon relationships to deal with the terrain and make it come alive in your favor. And that's one of the freedoms of the icon relationships and the backgrounds that the GM allows. But it would be interesting to see Pelgrane's take on a player's resource book where they specifically focused on not mechanics, not new classes or anything, but hey, you're in 13th Age. Here's how you should be looking at backgrounds as a player. Here's how you should be looking at icons as a player and kind of walk through for the players, here's how you get the most out of your 13th Age game.
Mm-hmm. Montages too.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be a great idea.
Cool.
Yeah, because definitely, you know, the icon relationships isn't, okay, you get +2 to hit the ogre.
Right.
That's not memorable.
That's not memorable.
Come with something that's better. That's
right, well, but when you use them to send messages to, you know, the Elf Queen and the High Druid and the Priestess and Archons and Dire Wolves and Stoned Pixies show up to help you during the siege, that suddenly becomes a more memorable interaction with the storyline.
Definitely.
Well, and I think players too struggle a lot with understanding what is this icon relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not so much that the icon is aware of you, it's that you have the ability to draw on their resources.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a lot of players, it's like, well, I almost like the icon is their great lost uncle. They can just call in favors. Well, like, the relationship isn't quite supposed to be that close. Not that it couldn't be.
Right.
But I think having some additional resources and some advice for players on how to really lean into those icon relationships and maybe not so much think about the icons themselves, but the icons organizations and their NPCs and the subordinates and those sorts of things.
Very cool. Anything that stood out as a critique?
Not for me. I like it in black and white because it's easier to read. Nothing worse than getting a resource or a game book, and it's got this great colored picture of whatever, and they're trying to write in yellow and red, and it's very hard to read, very annoying. I like that it's black and white.
But I don't think we've ever seen that with Pelgrane products.
No, that's what I like about it. Yeah. It's very usable, very easy to read, find things. Like I said, it's not wasted. I wasn't kidding when I said other game companies should look at this and go, you know what?
I think for me, it's hard to really find much to critique about it, because it's not so much there's new rules in the book, but there's just a myriad of suggestions for how to play it a little bit differently.
Right. It's almost like the 13th Age director's cut, where the directors of the game are sitting there with you going, okay, so when we did this, here's kind of what we were thinking and how this should play out. And it really is, it's not so much a how to run the game, but here's under the hood of the rules.
Right. Or here's how we found it work a little bit better.
Yeah.
They did incorporate some advice that wasn't even Pelgrain. It was community driven. I think there's a whole page of 13 different ways that you can do things, and which I appreciate the fact that they were engaging in the community in that way and bringing it that into their official products.
Yeah, I agree. Well,
there was one humorous part.
Only one?
Well, I found there specifically was more than that. There was a humorous part when they referenced Gareth being a very easy, lovable GM, and then he's changed slightly. It's like, wait a minute, I've read his adventure. I've played in his adventure.
We've talked with him multiple times.
When was he the easy, non-killing GM?
That must have been during the interview.
That has to be pre-Stone Thief.
Yeah, probably.
One comment about the black and white is that, like we talked about and mentioned with the GM screen, is it brings the price down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really affordable.
This is very affordable for everything you get.
Oh yeah. So talking about that, we've got you can get it in print from either Pelgrane or your friendly local game store for basically $25, and the PDF is $17, which you can get through again Pelgrane or drive through. And I believe Pelgrane is parts of the Bits and Mortar program. So if you buy it at your friendly local game store, have them sign up for Bits and Mortar, and you get the PDF for free.
Yep, support your local game store.
Yes.
And that way, if you want the GM screen in a heavier format, you can print it off and put it in whatever adaptable GM screen.
Or if you're just into tablets and more technology, use the PDF for all your stuff.
So, final thoughts.
Buy it.
That's what I was going to say as well.
Yeah, I'd say if you're going to start buying 13th Age, buy the core book and then buy this book and then buy 13th True Ways, and you're going to be set.
Yeah. I would actually say Bestiary before 13 True Ways, but that could be an entire episode in and of itself.
I'm all for buying all of it.
The official iconic stance is buy everything. I would agree, Nick. I think with this and the core rule book, you're pretty much set. And I would say if you're out there running 5th edition D&D or Pathfinder, it's probably worth a look just for the information that's in there, just to get you kind of thinking outside of, well, what do the rules say? What are some other things I could bring in from other games? And I think it highlights the three most important parts of 13th Age, which is the icon relationships, the travel montages, and the how they build battles. It's a completely different mindset.
Yep.
So... I'm going to go ahead and give it five. Well, I'm going to say 4.5. I'm going to give it 4.5 out of 5 stars. That GM screen just kind of, like, I don't know.
I mean, I'm old school. I'm used to, for years, that was the standard. Well, so I know it's changed some, and it can be nice, but I'm going to give it 5. This is something definitely.
Yeah, I'd give it 5 as well.
So that's a good average of 5, like, really.
You've been outvoted.
That's fair. I will take it.
Well, you've been listening to the Iconic Podcast.
If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, you can contact us at iconicpodcast@gmail.com or call and leave a voicemail at 720-924-1706.
And be sure to check out iconicpodcast.com for news, updates, and new episodes.
Thanks for listening.